Yo. We are the Lebaz Wise Guys. Your boy, check out my boy.
Q Dizzy for Sheezy from RGMEZ.
Oh. Shout out to RGM. Shout out to the gang. If you're new here, stay a while. And if you've been here before, stay even longer. You know.
Wait, which gang? Glow Gang or Ill-Advised Wise Guys Gang?
The Wise Gang. Oh, okay. I said the Wise Gang. Okay. Glow Gang sounds like a Rico charge waiting to happen, bro.
Isn't that Glorilla's gang?
I don't know, man. I don't keep up with gangs, sir. Only ours. But no, shout out to everybody who subscribed to our podcast. Shout out to everybody who checked out our last episode, too. We actually had our biggest episode.
Yeah.
Biggest episode, yeah. Man. Look at that, man. Kendrick shakes-ish up. And then now,
Kung Fu Kendrick.
You know what I'm saying? The numbers go up across the board, man.
Yeah.
You know, on everybody's front. So, yeah, shout out to everybody who
tapped
in.
If that's the case, hopefully, you know, they about to drop another album. Hopefully, they got another diss on there. But hey, we'll get to it.
Hey, brother. Y'all know why we here. You've seen the title in the description. You've seen the title on Spotify. Y'all know what just happened in the world. And I ain't talking about an election. Like we about rap today. J. Cole shook ish up. But we'll get to that in a few, man. You know, again, shout out to everybody, man. If you're listening to this on Spotify, hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to this on Apple, hit that subscribe button. YouTube, hit that subscribe button, that like button. Run it up. Hit us in the comments. Y'all do what y'all got to do, man. We rock with y'all if y'all rock with us. Now, Q,
yes, sir.
Let's get into some announcements, man. Let's just get into it, man. Through. Talk to me.
Check out ratingsgamemusic.com, a.k.a. RGM.
Yeah.
The hottest music site on the globe.
Bow.
We did a redesign. Way crisper. You know, the font looks better.
Mm-hmm.
It's Times New Roman. It's like, I don't know what font. But we got album reviews for J. Cole, Might Delete Later. We got an album review for Bryson Tiller, self-titled album, Bryson Tiller. And then we got song reviews for, what's the song that came out that was noteworthy?
A song?
I think everybody was ducking Cole. What was the song that was noteworthy that came out?
I don't know, but I just Gorilla.
Gorilla got an album.
And Megan?
A thing.
Yo, I really like that Meg and Glow song.
That song's good.
I really like that song.
That song is good. Even though it sounds like a couple of songs Megan has made before. But
who cares?
Very good song. But check out ratingsgamemusic.com. Once again, the hottest music site on the globe.
Absolutely. Again, y'all see the logo. Y'all know the name.
Ratings
Game.
Gang.
RGM.
You know that stands for gang, right? Ratings gang.
Yo, that's crazy. Yo, you're really trying to get indicted, aren't you? you really want that, don't you? Anyway, man, listen, it's game, not gang, guys.
Just kidding.
Different four-letter word. But no, yeah, y'all tap into ratingsgamemusic.com. And man, some of them reviews, man, have been really fire lately, man. So y'all check that out for sure. On to the next segment. We got zero skips. The mother effing playlist. It features a lot of up and coming talent from all around the world. Australia, Africa. We've been getting submissions from people from Canada. You know, obviously the U.S., man. Like, it's really, really turned global at this point, man.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are interested in hearing music, tapping into artists who you've never heard of possibly, and you want to get put onto some new music, hey, tap into the playlist, man. Zero skips in the description right now on Spotify, in stores now. Let's get it.
In stores,
damn, man. And actually, speaking of that, we just added a couple songs to our playlist. We'll start with one. There's a guy named Pretty Boy D.O. He dropped a song called Sharpshooter. We listened to this, obviously, before the pod just dropped. And, man, I love the energy. Mm. I love the dance hall beat. Yeah. I love how there was just a mix of kind of a lot going on. They got the gunfire in the back. It sounded like Rambo, bro. Was Rambo. Like in the production? Like that was crazy.
Nah, good energy. Afropop and like dance hall combinations never miss.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's what this song is.
Mm.
And so put it on in any club, I think it's going to go. That's how I feel.
That's very good.
Old days, man, when I was into dance hall music, Serrani and them. That's the type of music I was trying to hear. So.
But Serrani was talking about love.
Yeah, he was.
Bro, like, this guy wants violence. He says I'm a sharpshooter.
That's true. So Serrani, more like Movado then.
Yo, that's true. That's true. There you go. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Y'all tapping the Pretty Boy D.O. That song is fire. Y'all tap into that as well. We got another record we added. It's called Break a Sweat by a gentleman named Davey. Man, this one, high energy, very fun.
Soulful.
It just like had a very disco feel. I could picture this song being played at the skating rink.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, like,
which is always a vibe.
Which, I, by the way, I don't skate. Yeah, I mean, shit. But y'all might have to get Usher.
It's always a vibe.
Absolutely. But, matter of fact, you ever been to a skating rink?
I've not. I've looked at it. I mean, I've been outside of a skating rink, but I've never actively involved myself in a skating rink.
I've been to one.
But I've seen it.
No, I've been to two. Sorry.
I heard that you fall. Like, it's just so, it's really hard. It's like, it's harder than it looks.
Them people on roll bounce?
Yeah.
Brother. They were professionals.
That was stuntmen?
They're professionals, bro.
So that Bow Wow was a stuntman?
Oh, nah. He might just know how to do it because he's from that area. That's true. You know, Atlanta people, they grow up skating and whatnot.
Tight. Yeah. That's really tight.
By the way, I've done the ice skating. I've done that too. That one's even harder. Mm. But anyway, y'all tap into this new song. By the way, I can hear this song being performed live too. You know, like,
yeah,
or maybe even in a TV show. It really has this like score in or a scene in a movie where like stuff is really popping off, like maybe a cop chasing somebody. I don't know, man. I don't know. There's a lot that's going on in that song, but y'all, I know, right? That's what it did to me. But anyway, y'all tap into that song as well. The third song that we added was a lady named Marley. She dropped a song called Young and Naive. Now this one right here, yo, if you like pop rock, you know that Paramore kind of sound. Yep. The song is called Young and Naive, and I've never wanted to feel young and naive more.
It's like a feel
even though
good,
I'm old,
exactly,
and wise.
It's like a feel good coming of age vibe, almost Olivia Rodrigo type vibes.
Yes,
very good song. It's one of those songs that like no matter if you're a fan of that genre, you're gonna like it because there's a lot of good. Just good elements attached to it.
Dope songwriting too. Yeah. It tells a story, obviously. The music video is really dope too. So y'all make sure to tap into that song as well. And more that we've added on the Zero Skits playlist. Once again, like I said, exclusively on Spotify, aka in stores now. Now, Q, let's get into the episode.
Yes.
We here
sir.
To talk about J. Cole and his new freaking diss called 7 Minute Drill off his new album. What's the new Might Delete Later? But we got some other stuff we here to talk about as well on on this episode.
Yes, sir.
Like, for example, we're gonna get into who is in the next big three. Right? We talk a lot about the big three, right? Kendrick, Cole, Drizzy. But at what point are these guys gonna hang it up, right? And I'm not trying to force them out because they still making dope music. Well, most of them.
Okay, here we go.
I'm not really Drake, you know what I'm saying? Drake kind of needs to step it up from an album standpoint. But nonetheless, we want to, I think, anoint some new people in the game, right?
Yeah.
There's some guys out there, guys
been,
and girls
guys
out there.
These guys have been in the game for like 15,
yes, sir.
15 years.
It's time.
So who's next?
Bro, it's time.
There should have been two. There actually should have been two big threes.
Two big threes?
Within that span. But, you know, we'll see. We'll talk about
it. Did they overstay their boundary? Or overstay their welcome, I should say? I don't know, man. But we're going to get into that, too. We're going to talk about, is it possible to separate the music from the artist, right? The sounds that you hear from the artist that maybe get into compromising positions, whether it's criminal stuff, maybe you don't agree with their lifestyle. I'm really talking about Diddy, y'all, because we're not really going to get into all the criminal-ish because that's not really what we do. Well, unless we're talking about gangs, like, you know, you're talking about earlier, but
gang.
But you know what happens, man. Somebody gets into a pickle and everybody wants to cancel them, quote unquote, and say, I mean, why y'all still listening to R. Kelly? But like, is it possible to separate it, man? We're going to get into that discussion, man. And some other topics as well. But first, Q, let's just get into
discussion.
We got to dive into it, man. J. Cole just dropped a new project called Might Delete Later, which, by the way, I have to say before we get into this, I really enjoy that project. It wasn't phenomenal, but if I were to grade it, I'd probably say a B of some sort. Really, really dope features. I like the Absol feature. I like the storytelling aspect, adding Gucci Man, the Trade of Truth. There's some dope stuff happening on that project. Of course, Boss 2 shined.
Oh, no, he did not shine. I hated both.
What?
Both.
You're crazy. Stop it. You didn't like the hook on Hide Your Bitch?
hated it.
Wow.
I
didn't like the other one, but I thought the Hydra Bitch hook was pretty dope.
It was
but
boring. It was catchy, but boring, if all that right, even bro. Makes sense. But God, right, sorry.
I feel you. But nonetheless, on the very last song, J. Cole dropped a 3 minute 30 second song, 7 minute drill, where he was firing back at Kendrick Lamar. And there's so many ways we can break this down, and we're gonna get into that. But Q, give me your first impressions on the actual song, and also just, I mean, what he did. Did he do the job?
Oh, I hate that I have to start this, man. Why me?
It's fitting. It's fitting. We've been talking behind the scenes. It's fitting.
So, me, I'm just going to come out and say it. You say it for me. I am not a J. Cole apologist. Let me just put it that way. I criticize J. Cole for a lot of things. I personally think rightfully so. And one of the biggest criticisms I always have with J. Cole is he's a little passive aggressive when he gets into conflicts. Mm. Right? So, like you always stated, this is the first time somebody on his level called him out.
Right.
And not only did Kendrick call him out, Kendrick threw bombs at this guy. Well, he threw bombs at Drake. He roughed up J. Cole. Let's put it that way. So the interesting thing is, because they have their friendly, you know, they're friends in real life, and because they, you know, they were even going to work on an album together.
Right.
I think it was really, really hard to figure out which way J. Cole was going to go when he dissed him, because it was inevitable. He was going to diss him.
Mm.
And so what that diss feels like to me, the 7 minute drill, feels like someone who took punches but held back on all the punches that they really wanted to throw.
Mm.
I want to get this out the way. The rapping on that song is phenomenal. The flows J. Cole uses, stupendous. The punchlines, his how wise his lyrics are, how lyrically sound he is, phenomenal. I don't like the fact that he called him his brother. I do not like the fact that this is war. I don't want to hear that.
Oh, geez.
I don't want to hear all that. Oh, not right now. You can call him your brother through a text message. On that record, yeah. I wanted violence. And J. Cole didn't quite give me violence, but he did give me some really, really hard bars, some really justifiable comments towards Kendrick.
I'm with you.
You know, some really, really things to think about. It came across to me as a verse Cole got from Twitter comments. You know, I'm just going to scroll through here and see what everybody's saying about Kendrick Lamar. And he just looked at all the comments and put that all together in one verse, and that's what happened. Mm. So, good song, good raps, but I just needed more. I needed more violence.
I get it.
Needed more violence.
Listen, you're not wrong. And like I like to say, I don't disagree. Okay? I don't disagree.
You agree to disagree or you don't disagree?
No. I don't disagree. Okay, good. Meaning I agree. Okay? It's just a confusing way to say I agree. Okay?
But I get where you're coming from, though.
But no, at the end of the day, listen, man. First of all, I see exactly what you're saying, and I agree with most of that for sure. But there's three or four key, I would say, takeaways that I got from this particular song.
Uh-oh, here we go. He got the notes.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I took some notes, man. Because you hit on one, right? You talked about the whole brother this, brother that concept, which I don't freaking love, right? Cole said, yo, my text flooded. For the hunger of a toxic reply, I'm hesitant. I love my brother. I'm not going to lie. Mm. I'm powered up for real.
Mm.
Right? Like, this shit would be like swatting a fly. Like, stop with the brother shit, bro. But the overall thing with that is, bro, he's half-stepping. Mm-hmm. He don't really want to do this. But he keep telling us at every turn, I don't want this. Now, we can get into...
Why admit this?
I'm with you. It's a horrible strategy. And a terrible way to show face, because that's not what you do in a rap battle, right? So the other thing that I noticed is he called him a clout chaser.
Which, that was an interesting comment.
He called him a clout chaser. He said it, two different lines. He was like, yo,
interesting comment.
If he wasn't dissing, then we wouldn't be discussing him. Does he have a point? I mean, listen, that's not taking away nothing from Kendrick. We know this guy's great. We know that his discography is damn near untouchable. We know all the greatness about Kendrick, but like, Kendrick does go away for how long? He's the hiatus king. Kendrick is the hiatus king. He goes away. He pops out and stirs the pot with disses. And we all love it as rap fans. But there's something to that. I just wish I wish Cole would have took that angle and really did something with it. I just feel like he dropped the ball. Real talk. He dropped the ball. He could have did way, 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 way more with that. The other takeaway I would say is he talks about Kendrick's inconsistent drops. Right, he talked about the whole 4 albums in 10 years. He talked about, you know, he averaging one hard verse every 30 months. It's like, okay, we get the Jay-Z angle that you took with that. I don't love it. I wish he was more original. But of course, the cardinal sin that he did was he attacked Kendrick's discography. Like I personally think that was one of the worst strategies I've ever seen in a diss, right? It's not the fact that he's attacking a catalog, right? Because that's a good angle, but it don't work on Kendrick because for two reasons. Number one, Kendrick is Kendrick and his discography is arguably he's arguably had the best 4 album run. Really 3 album run in the history of hip hop. So why are you even talking about that? Especially J. Cole, when you done drop albums like For Your Eyes Only. Come on, man.
And he said To Pimp a Butterfly was boring, essentially. But what do people always say about J. Cole? His music is boring, right?
Thank you.
Or a good chunk of his albums are boring. For your eyes only, is more boring.
Bro,
To Pimp a Butterfly. Let's be real.
You don't like Folding Clothes? You don't like Folding Clothes?
Changes
in Neighbors is actually pretty dope, but anyway.
That's the thing. Like, it's almost like, you know the term bring a gun to a knife fight or whatever that. Bring a knife to a gunfight, right? It's almost like, all right, Kendrick brought a gun to this fight. Kendrick is violent. He's heinous with his words on like that. Kendrick wants to smoke. J. Cole came to this fight with a knife and he's just taking little jabs. Like, the truth hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much as the violence. You know what I'm saying? The truth hurts. J. Cole is just trying to speak his truth, his observations, but that's not enough for me to match what Kendrick did on like.
I agree with that.
Personally.
I agree with that. And look, Cole, last episode I said that this moment is going to define Cole's standing in the big three.
Yeah.
And I think we're seeing that he's number 3.
No. Oh, come on. And now you're taking it too far.
When I say that, mm-hmm. he's backing down already to Kendrick.
Oh,
he's
so you're talking like big dog? Like
that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the status dog? Of.
Who gets the ball? Like, who gets the ball? And the game
you
is
see,
20
you
seconds
You see where
left,
I'm going.
And who gets the ball is going to get
who's
go to
taking the shot?
Who's taking the shot and he's going to be.
He's third option. Okay. If this is the NBA,
he's
manager. He's probably Tony Parker back in the day. Who took the last shot with the Spurs?
I believe it was
Manu.
It was definitely Manu.
Tim Duncan or Tony Parker.
It was either Manu, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, or Steven Jackson. One of those four.
Okay.
But
Cole is Steven Jackson.
Okay. Now you're taking it too far.
Third to fourth.
Cole is capable of hitting that shot, but he has not shown he can consistently make it.
Mm.
And that's, to me, I do want to say before we switch topics, I do want to say this. He did mention that this was a warning shot. So for all the people, the history of people saying this is a warning shot. Remember, Drake sent a warning shot towards Meek Mill with Charged Up. Everybody thought Charged Up was weak.
That's a
and
fact.
And he came back with Back to Back.
This is true.
Maybe this is just a warning shot. And whatever Cole got next on maybe the fall off is going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot harder.
Listen, I hope you're right. But I believe you won't be
pessimistic.
Right. I believe you won't be right.
Pessimistic.
Because the difference between that and real quick, the difference between that one and now is that, the difference between the Meek and Drake beef when Drake dropped Charged Up versus now with Cole and Kendrick is that Meek didn't rap when he dissed Drake mm-hmm. initially. It was mm-hmm. a tweet. Mm-hmm. It was, mm-hmm. bro, you're not, you have a ghostwriter, right? Like, so.
I mean, technical. You get
my point is what prompted the Charged Up versus what prompted 7 Minute Drill
is
significantly
different.
Charged
is very similar, or maybe this is very similar situations where Charged Up, Drake literally says on Charged Up, this is a warning shot.
That's true.
He literally says it, and he says, you got a couple hours to respond, and I'm going to hit you with another.
I got you.
Right? So maybe that's what this is.
I got you. Let's move on.
Next topic.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that Kendrick Lamar is the big bad wolf on the block, he is now susceptible to Twitter's freaking douchebagness, or however you want to slice it.
The Twitter trolls.
The Twitter trolls.
They working overtime. So they working overtime this weekend, bro.
One thing that the Twitter trolls have done since Like That has come out is they have began deciphering each of these guys' careers, their strengths, their weaknesses. And a bunch of people on Twitter are saying that Kendrick Lamar's catalog is overrated. Everybody's giving love to Good Kid, Mad City. Everybody's giving love to Damn. I think that's unanimous on Twitter or everywhere you go. In Uganda, it's unanimous. Those are two really good albums.
Hey. Sorry. Be careful using the word unanimous anymore, okay? You got killed on Instagram talking about unanimous. What's the unanimous big three, okay?
I'm just kidding. But the two albums in question on Twitter are To Pimp a Butterfly, which on Twitter a lot of people will say TPAB. If you see TPAB, that means To Pimp a Butterfly. And Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. Or on Twitter, they call it Golden Corral and the Big Steps.
Disrespect.
Those are the two.
Disrespect.
So it had me thinking, like, can we just do a quick breakdown of Kendrick Lamar's albums? Are some of the stuff people on Twitter saying true? Are some of Kendrick's albums mid? Can we just do a breakdown of those albums, man? Like, we could start from Good Kid, Magic, however you want to start it.
By the way,
can we do a breakdown?
We should absolutely do that. But the way I want to start this off, I want to say I blame Cole. It's Cole's fault for this. Cole, you are the problem for this. You the one who said your first shit was classic, your last shit was tragic, your second album put niggas to sleep, but they gassed it.
I liked it, though.
It's fire, right? Fire. It's fire, little
skin. Lies. I mean, so, you know, lies sound so good when you rap them.
Yo, listen. That's true, right? Yo, listen. Hey. Yo, I've never heard such beautiful cap before. Have you ever heard cap that sounded so nice?
Listen.
Yo, now I know how. Oh, damn, I'm about to get real. Nah, you know, I'm going to chill. I was about to say something crazy.
Me too.
Anyway, this is Cole's fault. I just want to point that out there. This is why we're talking about this crap. Because I thought it was quite obvious that at the end of the day, we had already given Kendrick Lamar the crown from a run in hip hop discography.
I definitely did.
I know I have. I've heard people discuss this openly over the years. This has already established. So anyway, let's go through it, man, because at the end of the day, I like how you hit me on Twitter and said, I see Cole's not acknowledging Section 80 as an album. Good. Because for all you people out there that's been talking about Section 80 as an album, it's not. Okay, we get it. That's his first project. Matter of fact, Cole was technically the big dog back then on Kendrick. For sure. High Power is still one of my favorite songs, like in general.
Cartoons and Cereal?
Yeah, 100%. But no, fire. Let's get to it. Section 80 is not an album. We obviously start with Good Kid, Mad City. I think it's safe to say that's an undeniable.
Undeniable
classic. Undeniable. What Kendrick Lamar did on that project, the storytelling, the telling us he was in he's a good kid in a mad city, like the rapping, the rawness in the skits. There was just so much happening in that project that people have gone on to take that formula of that album that Kendrick showed. Anyway. We get to
Tory Lanez took it.
A bunch of people.
I told you.
That's a fact. Rich. We get to Pimp a Butterfly. To Pimp a Butterfly, at the time, I can openly say I did not like that project. I can say that. I did not like To Pimp a Butterfly when it dropped. Now, does that mean it's not good? No, because I think we got to start acknowledging that you don't have to like something, right? And I think it's trash, right?
The word you want to use is it wasn't enjoyable. It's not an enjoyable album. It's not that you don't like it.
Use whatever.
You just don't enjoy listening to it.
Sure. You like, enjoy. I mean, yeah, fair. But obviously, over the years, I've grown to really appreciate what Kendrick did on that from a social consciousness standpoint. The importance of that album made all the sense in the world why I got all the critical acclaim. I mean, bro, it's undeniable. Obviously, Damn Drop. Damn is his biggest project, bro. It's incredible music. But obviously, we know the sore spot on Kendrick's discography at this point is the Mr. Morale project. Not a bad project, but was it enjoyable? I'll stop there, man, bro. What's your take on his catalog?
I'm just going to skim through. Damn, Kendrick's biggest hits are on Damn. Like, you know, one of my biggest issues with Kendrick, I've been saying this for years. I've been saying it on the podcast, just like very slightly, so maybe you miss it. Kendrick doesn't rap all the time. Like, he sacrifices a lot of songs from a musical standpoint to do a bunch of different things. And a lot of times rapping is not those things that he does. He likes to storytell and this is that. I thought, damn, you really got chances for him to rap, like Humble, Element, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I really like Damn. Good Kid, Mad City, you get some rap from Kendrick. But then I just think the way the album flows is excellent. The storytelling that's done, fantastic. And then it's something we like never heard before. Fantastic. I'll get to the two sore spots, quote unquote sore spots. To Pimp a Butterfly, I didn't like the album either. I didn't understand it. I didn't think it was listenable. I literally didn't think it was listenable. Because if you look at it, some of the songs aren't even real songs. There's a song where he's drunk. Remember the song where he's drunk? And he's like, oh, I don't know why I'm doing. Like, is that supposed to be enjoyable? Right? And then there's Wesley's Theory and all these. That album has maybe four or five songs that you can actually replay and say, this is like songs I want to hear again. However, when I really started to appreciate the album was I said, I'm going to listen to it from start to finish on this drive to New York. And you really have to listen to the album from start to finish. The intro, you have to soak it in. Soak up his messages. Do not skip anything. Just play, press play, and you'll realize like this album is more of a book.
Bro, it's layered.
Than an actual like musical experience.
100%
agree.
It's
more of just an audio book to me. So that's why I appreciate it, but I understand where people from Twitter are coming from. It is a little boring. It is not enjoyable.
Right.
And then you get to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. The word I would use for that album is that album is overrated. That's the word I'm not seeing people use as much. And by overrated, I don't mean it's an F and people are giving it an A. I mean it's an A minus, B plus. For Kendrick standards, that's not the best album. To me, I haven't gone back to the album since it dropped, like not even once. However,
and neither have they.
I think it's a quality album. There's some bangers on there, but at the end of the day, it's just people ain't trying to hear that album. I think that's what it came down to. I think this is the first time people are seeing cracks in Kendrick's. People are starting to figure out, like, yo, dog, like you recycling themes now. We can't take the story theme as much as we did when Good Kid, Mad City came out. So that's kind of my I think Kendrick Lamar's, if we were to grade his catalog, it's an A.
Of course. A catalog. Of course.
It's an A. Mr. Morale, if I were to give Mr. Morale a grade, nothing less than a B plus to me. But, however.
I go B.
B plus or A minus to me. It's a great album, but I'm just not trying to hear it. That's it. I'm not trying to hear it.
I mean, I think that's part of the overrating aspect. I mean, you're literally overrating it in your rating, I believe. Like, no, you're giving him the respect that he has earned from a storytelling standpoint. Musically, he cares about his music. He didn't do anything wrong from a musicality standpoint.
It is a good
album. You get what I'm saying?
No, I know. I agree.
But the impact of that album, which is probably the biggest attribute of music that is you can't really measure. That's the part that lacks.
It is a good.
It's the impact aspect.
I think that's a good way to put it. Overrated, not as impactful. I think those are two of the best ways to put it.
Mm.
But
yeah, I mean, look,
still a damn good catalog.
I hope we
way better than J. Cole's and Drake's catalog. Let's be real.
Yo, maybe
that's the elephant in the room. Is a better catalog than Drake and J. Cole's.
We might have to table that for another discussion, right? Because which is why
way better.
Which is why I told you
way better,
bro. I told you that J. Cole is the worst messenger to deliver this narrative about Kendrick's catalog, or catalog being suspect, or To Pimp a Butterfly being boring. Again, like we talked about before, he has been the poster child for boring rappers. Which, by the way,
you like J. Cole too, so that's saying a lot, man.
But it's the truth, right?
It is the
truth. How many memes have been made about this man?
The truth.
Bro, they was calling Nas boring.
Hey, the truth. You know what I said?
They said Nas rapped over boring beats, and what did Nas do? Nas went and got Hit Boy and shut everybody up.
He did.
People ain't said that since.
You know what they say? I said lies sound better on rap. Truth sounds worse when it's rapped. Truth sound worse when it's rapped.
That's crazy. You want to move on?
Next topic.
All right, let's move on to the next topic, which, man, I this one I'm really excited about, right? Because we're going to be talking about who is the next big three. Mm. We get it, guys. You might have a favorite artist out there. Your favorite artist might be Gucci Mane. Your favorite artist might be Denzel Curry. I mean, I can name so many different artists that I would be here all day. But my point is, whether you agree with the consensus list of the big three right now in rap, which is J. Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. Apologize.
J. Cole. Does that sound like Dylon, and Dylon?
Crazy, right?
Who's the top five rappers? Dylon, and Dylon.
Yeah, but... yeah, you guys may disagree, but I think we can all agree that that's the consensus. And they've been on top for so long. But at the end of the day, at what point do we have to start ushering in a new crop of folks to anoint them as the next tier for this generation, right? And I think that
That's what we're going to do. We're going to do it right
and
now.
And y'all are going to be here to witness it. And we want to know y'all thoughts and opinions on our list and also what yours are in the comments. But let's get to it, man. Mm-hmm. How should we do this? You want to do my top three and then you do your top three? How you want to do this?
Just go back and forth. Just
all right, bro.
Throw names out there.
I'll tell you right now. In my top three.
Let me say this.
Go ahead. Give it to
me. You know, before I think it's important that we state what the big three means.
Okay.
So what Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick Lamar brought to hip hop was lyricism, top notch rapping.
Mm.
You know, you can argue Drake, but I think Drake is a top notch rapper. So those three, and that's why they stood the test of time, because they've been consistent.
Very important point.
Very, very good. We're not talking about like melodic rappers, whatever Playboi Carti rapping is. Like, we're not really talking about that. We're talking about who is the most lyrical, top-notch rappers that are young out there.
Well, I want to say this too, because while everything you said is true, mm-hmm. people's list is different because their criteria is different.
Sure.
And then what they prioritize the criteria to be is different. But I think that when we have in these top three conversations of rap, we have to keep lyricism and rapping at the forefront. I get that we're in a melodic era, but we have to keep it at the forefront. So number one on my list right now, I would say is J.I.D.
Mm.
J.I.D.
Unanimous.
To me,
unanimous.
Is a heir apparent. He is somebody that's right there on the cusp. He's dropped critically acclaimed albums, The Never Story, The Forever Story. He's making an impact on TikTok with songs that are going up. He seems to be somebody who has the complete package from a artistic standpoint of the Kendrick Lamar, able to storytell. And do what Jordan Lucas and all these other guys do from an artistic standpoint, but he can also get on the track and rap his ass off and go crazy.
Yes.
He's my number one pick right now.
Number one pick.
Number one
Victor
pick.
Victor Wembanyama.
He's number one.
And it's not close. I fully agree with J.I.D. Being up there as a big three. Second. This is a tough one. Second pick for me. It's tough.
Go ahead.
21 Savage. Does 21 Savage
you nailed
fit
it.
In this?
He's on my list.
Does he fit on
He's
this
He's on my list. You nailed it.
21 Savage. I mean, it's interesting because 21 Savage started out, I'm going to, for that I'll say it, 21 Savage to me was not a good rapper. When he first came out, 21 Savage was not a good rapper.
It was laughable how bad he was.
He has shown vast improvement every single year. And right now, based off what I heard from his last album, he is there when it comes to rapping. He is a very good rapper, period. And so I would put him in that big three. Not only is he a good rapper, but he's his music is impactful. He's selling. JID's selling. And, you know, he's moving hip-hop forward. And then, most importantly, both JID and 21 Savage get co-signs from top rappers. JID is getting a co-sign from Cole, and 21 Savage has been getting co-signs from everybody from Future to Metro Boomin to Drake.
The whole industry.
Those two, I think, are unanimous. Here's where it gets murky.
Yeah, now I want to jump in there too, because look, everything you said about 21 Savage is right. I'm with you. He was actually on my list, and JID and him are the two to me surefire. They to me deserve the selection. The third spot, I agree with you, is shaky, because now there's a drop off in different areas. And for me, my number three, I'm debating between two people. Number one is Gunna.
Oh,
right.
Shaky is an understatement.
It's Gunna. Okay. And my second one is Doja Cat. Now, we regularly and routinely don't put Doja Cat in the conversation of rap, rightfully so, because she's been more pop, right? Just historically. But I thought her last album, Scarlet, and in general, she has been showing the world what
she can rap her
what
ass
we
off.
All have known
she can rap
for years
off.
That she is a she can rap elite rapper she that can, needs to be talked about.
She can rap her ass
and
off.
I think she has the dynamicness of being able to perform. She can do pop. She sells. Mm-hmm. She can rap. The last step is, will the rap community acknowledge Doja Cat as a lyricist? And I'm starting to see people kind of talk about it, but it's not enough for me.
Yeah.
So that's why it's shaky to me.
Yeah.
Gunna, on the other hand, he gets the respect, especially with this last album. Mm-hmm. He's not really a obvious lyricist, but I do think he has the respect from a rapping standpoint enough. I think so.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I mean, I respect what you're saying.
Yeah.
For me, okay, but I'm gonna add some people.
Go ahead.
There's some. Denzel Curry is a nominee. I mean, I think he borders it. I mean, Denzel Curry is definitely a nominee. And then, you know, I feel like we got to throw Jack Harlow in there. I mean, Jack Harlow, he's been co-signed by some big names.
I got you.
And he's got hits. So Jack Harlow's in there. And you know, the That's person that should be, this should have been unanimous, but he's just been going through things is Kodak Black. Kodak Black should have been three. I am high on Kodak Black. I think Kodak Black is a phenomenal rapper, but he just BS's on the mic a lot. And, you know, but when he's serious, he is a very, very good rapper. So you got some shaky ones.
Listen, I see where you're coming from. I get it. The Denzel Curry one, listen, he has talent galore. We ain't talking about talent. I just have a question mark about his appeal and his impact. That's the questionable part, which kind of leaves him off the list for me.
Yeah.
Who's the second person you said?
Jack Harlow.
Jack Harlow, that's a good one. That's actually a really good one.
Jack Harlow.
He damn near gets a seat. Like, I don't think that one is big three, because he
can rap his ass off too. He went toe to toe. I mean, he has some bad lines on Churchill Downs, but he really went toe to toe with Drake on that song.
I like the Jack Harlow.
I do want to bring up a couple people that should have been on this list. Juice WRLD. Rest in peace, Juice WRLD. I feel like Juice WRLD, if he was alive today, could have been on that list.
Pop Smoke
if he was
possibly
Cordae. If Cordae was on a trajectory of being a successor to all these guys and was getting the cosigns, he should absolutely be on that list.
Bro, you know who should have been on the list before everybody you just named? Chance the Rapper. Was he not supposed to be big three?
Somebody mentioned that in the Instagram comments. They say, yo, it was really Chance the Rapper. I never looked at Chance the Rapper like that. But
what?
So I never looked at him. So you know what? It sucks.
like we mentioned earlier, J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick have been in the game for 15 years. They should have been two big threes in that span.
That's true.
There should have been one with Chance the Rapper in them. Chance the Rapper, Mac Miller, you know, that should have been another big three in the middle.
You are.
And then the new age big three. So, but, you know, I'm just working with what we I'm just, you know, I'm working with what they gave me.
Listen, like I said on Twitter, and I've been getting backlash for it, Chance the Rapper's fall off needs to be studied and analyzed because the drop off is so significant that it worries me.
The fall off?
Yeah. I ain't talking about J. Cole's fall off. I'm talking about
fall off.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. It's pretty bad. But anyway, you guys listening out there and watching, who do you think should be the next big three? You know, because I think at the end of the day, man, this list is gonna get real different depending on who you ask.
Very.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
Next topic.
Yeah.
Can you separate music from the artist? So,
you know, I feel like lately, right, this is something that we have been having to deal with quite a bit, right? Lately. This is a lately problem because, you know, R. Kelly got jammed up for doing whatever he did. And we had to essentially think about whether or not we should listen to his music. Diddy, you know, we all know what Diddy has done. Now,
allegedly.
Allegedly. What, let's start there. Thank you.
He's not convicted yet. It's alleged.
Allegedly what he's done, right? Now he has to overthink it. And then Tory Lanez, where Tory Lanez accused of shooting Megan Thee Stallion. And then people had to say, you know, should I be listening to his music? So I feel like in the last 2 or 3 years, we have had to deal with these multiple cases of, you know, damn, should we be listening to these quote unquote bad people?
Yeah.
But this Diddy one is very interesting in my opinion, because Diddy's influence on 90s hip hop was huge. And then also Diddy's, it's so crazy when the person, what they're accused of is so bad that just accusations make you look at them differently or make you think they're a bad person. Right now it's just accusations, but what he's accused of is so bad that you almost feel dirty for listening to his music. So should people feel conflicted about listening to these type of artists, or should they just say, yo, this is their personal life. All I care about is the music.
Yo, I mean, first of all, that's a loaded question. Because, and by the way, I wanted to talk about this because I've noticed that the answer is so different depending on who you ask, right? Like, some people take hard stances. R. Kelly, man, nah, what he did to Aaliyah, nah, man, he did the child. I can't listen to his music because I think about all that stuff with all his music. They start internalizing the lyrics and they can't get their mind out of it. I think at the end of the day, we should be able to separate the two. We should. And I think not being able to is kind of unhealthy. It's kind of unhealthy to be thinking about the man or the woman who was accused or convicted of whatever, and you can't separate it. And by the way, Diddy's going through what he's going through, and I get it. Like, it's all alleged. Hopefully that gets resolved in whatever way that thing is supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, now I just feel like people like Diddy, R. Kelly, Chris Brown, Tory Lanez, the list goes on. A lot of people have done a lot of things in life, but we are supposed to get the music and enjoy the music that we were given. Why do we have to go super deep into people's minds and lives and lifestyles? It don't got to be that deep, guys. It doesn't. Now, am I mad at anybody who can't separate it? No, I'm not mad at you, right? You have an attachment to the music, right? You probably got married to certain songs. You probably had a baby to certain songs, right? Certain artists mean a little bit more to you than others. So I get that part. That's human nature. But I do think we should be able to separate the two. And I feel like not being able to is very, very toxic. It's very toxic. And I think it goes in line with everything you just talked about, like the whole social media era, this whole era of cancel culture mm-hmm. that has mm-hmm. been going on. Mm-hmm. It's elevated people's sensitivity mm-hmm. and inability, I should say, to be able to separate it, because now you're on Twitter and now you're seeing memes, you're seeing articles, you're seeing you all bad. These. Now
they
you're
make
feeling
you feel
guilty,
bad or guilty.
You see what I'm saying?
Music. Yes,
like, it's kind of weird, but I mean, what do you think? Do you feel like? You, I mean, I guess for you, are you mm-hmm. able to separate? And do you think people should be able to separate the two?
Honestly, I think it's a case-by-case situation.
Okay.
And by case-by-case, I mean the person and what they did, right? I'll give you, see, I don't think in your, you know, your time right now that you were just talking that you actually mentioned people, for example. I'm going to give you my examples of people I can listen to and I can't listen to. I can't listen to R. Kelly.
Oh, right. For me, I listen to everybody. For me, I don't discriminate.
Okay. So that's true. You did say that.
Because I'm saying, my premise mm-hmm. is I'm able to separate it.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I can't listen to R. Kelly anymore. Mm. I'm not going to lie. I can't listen to R. Kelly. Respectfully. Right. It's like, it's not even on a like, yo, F that dude, or like, you know, this dude, this is that. But it's just the music. I don't know. It just, it don't feel as right to me. Like, it just feels weird. It feels, I don't know, because the reason R. Kelly's case is the stuff he's talking about in his music kind of correlates with, you know, what he went to jail for, you know what I'm saying? So it's just kind of weird to me. I can't listen to R. Kelly. Puff Daddy, I can listen to Puff Daddy through my earphones, you know what I mean, right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I'm around somebody, that's the one where I'm not sure if I'll play a Puff Daddy song, right? But Puff Daddy, I think he's in the clear. So for now,
okay,
Puff Daddy's in the clear for now. I can listen to his music.
All right.
Tory Lanez, I never stopped listening to Tory Lanez. I'll just be real with you. I never stopped listening to Tory Lanez. Tory Lanez, even though he's actually accused of probably maybe
you
the worst.
See, you see why what you're saying is a contradiction?
But I'm saying it's a case by case.
I get it.
Tory Lanez, I never stopped listening to Tory Lanez. I think maybe, you know, because another thing is Tory Lanez was still popping at the time.
Right.
Like,
right.
R. Kelly was past his prime. Puff Daddy's past his prime. But Tory Lanez was, like, considered a top-notch artist still. So it was hard to just say, like, this person who's very relevant to stop, you know, listening to his music.
I get you.
So Tory Lanez, I'm still listening to Tory Lanez. Who's another person?
Chris Brown.
I never stopped listening to Chris Brown. You know,
a lot of people boycotted him.
I never stopped listening to him. At the end of the day, like,
matter
I always
fact, people
say,
still
he made
boycotting
a mistake.
That guy.
It was a stupid mistake he made.
Right.
That's personally, I never stopped listening to Chris Brown. But you know the thing that's interesting and odd.
Right.
In one point, we're telling our rappers, I like when our rappers live what they rap, right? Or rap what they live, right?
Okay.
If you listen to these rappers, what they're rapping about is murder, 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 kill, kill, kill,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of them are involved in that. Like, so we're still listening to that? We're still listening to killers? We're still listening to murderers? Like, why is it like, is one, I thought murder was like the worst crime. I mean, obviously, you know that, you know, all the other crimes that all these people are being accused of, that's very, very bad. But murder is bad too.
Look,
right?
Look.
So how is it like we can be like, yo, okay, I'm gonna listen to such and such, but like feel bad for listening to certain, I don't know.
But again, it's case
like
by case.
Like Chris Brown's music. Sorry, I'm just gonna say Brown's music got canceled because what he did to Rihanna, which I understand that was really bad.
Yep.
But there's people that have killed people.
Right. Like, King Von.
Allegedly. They've not boycotted like that.
Brother, King Von. So, King Von was, I believe it's confirmed at this point. Mm-hmm. He is a confirmed mass, or I can't call him mad, but is a confirmed borderline serial killer. He's killed mm-hmm. multiple people. And it's, I don't even think this is alleged. This the police department has come out during that whole FBG duck situation. They put a lot of crimes on him that they said he's done, and it's been proven. Mm-hmm. He's just not here to obviously, you know, serve the time and whatnot. Yeah. But my point is, and it's just I just feel like murder is not really. Isn't it weird how murder isn't
It's weird.
Isn't a deal breaker for people?
Yeah,
isn't
like,
it weird?
That's the thing that's always weird to me, and I feel like Chris Brown's music, like, Like I said, what Chris Brown did when he was a kid, I understand. Bad, yes, but like, he ain't the only one committing crimes and sins out here that y'all listening to. I never got that, but like, I
personally,
I said, I want to get this out the way.
Go ahead.
Chris Brown was, I don't know, 17 years old, 18, 19, or whatever.
He was.
Young kid. Like, the fact that people are still boycotting his music, still trying to, like, cancel him. Like, at a certain point in the Bible, it says forgive. Like, at a certain point, you got to forgive. At a certain point, you got to realize, like, yo, you know, this dude, the fact, it's actually honorable. It's actually dope that he was able to continue his career to this point with y'all canceling him, with y'all doing, what y'all
Chris,
want him to
Chris
do?
Brown, Chris Brown has endured, I believe, excess punishment.
What y'all want him to do? Like, what do y'all want him to do? He already went to jail. You guys are already canceling him. You already, you know, not putting his music on a publication.
Mm-hmm.
You're already dissing him every single chance you get. Mm-hmm. What do you want him to do? You want him to work at McDonald's? Music was his career.
Bro, at this point, they want him to go away. They're showing every sign
when he was 18 or 19.
I don't agree with it. I don't like it.
You know what I mean? Like, it has to be said. Like, I don't know.
It ticks me off. But, I mean, listen, I really want to know out there. I'm going to pose this question because I really want to know, you know, are you able to separate music from the person? You know, it's always weird that this combo happens in music but never happens in other forms of art,
mm-hmm.
whether it's movies. Yeah, I don't really hear people boycotting movies when an actor comes out with a crime.
You know what's
like,
crazy?
What's my man named Baldwin?
That I was gonna say. That was literally what I was gonna rust.
Alec Baldwin literally
killed
someone.
You know they finished
someone.
The movie?
Yes.
They finished the movie and they're about to bring it out. Like, it's crazy.
But nobody talks about boycotting Alec Baldwin.
I mean, I think maybe.
I mean, should we? Should we or should we not? But I'm here for whatever y'all think. Y'all leave y'all thoughts in the comments. Let's move on to the next topic. And last topic.
Yes, sir.
Can you? This one is going to get real interesting.
This is, my brother. This is an interesting one. Didn't even say it on the intro. That's how interesting.
Because I didn't want
to
do it.
You're like, I don't know how to say this. Listen, I know that's what you were probably saying.
Here's the thing. You know,
here we go.
How do you... Is it getting harder? I should say, this is probably the better word to say.
Yes.
A better way. Is it getting harder to define blackness, right? You know, my guy QD here.
This was me that came up.
Yeah,
with
no, no, no. It's cool. But I want to talk about this too, for sure. But you brought this to me behind the scenes, and, you know, you used a couple of different examples. But recently, Isaiah Hartenstein, right? The big man for the New York Knicks.
Yep.
You told me that what was it? He got axed, or somebody thought that he was white.
What? He went on a Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart podcast.
There we go.
And they flat out, soon as the episode started, they asked him, "Yo, so are you black?" Literally, that's how they just started.
And these are his teammates.
Yeah, and these are his teammates, right? Yeah,
right.
And so he explained himself, and he said, "Yo, I'm actually mixed. Like, my dad is black."
Right.
Now, if you actually take a look at him, he looks like a straight white man. He literally looks like a white dude named Trevor.
There you go. He looks like a white dude named Cooper.
Yeah, Cooper. There you go.
But like, no, thank you for that. Thank you for that. And so in addition to that, there was recently a young lady who came out who was kind of getting harassed online, mm-hmm. because everybody was speculating that this was the woman who is in between the alleged beef. Well, it's not alleged. Mm-hmm. We're just saying this is the alleged woman that's the reason why Future and Drake are beefing. She came out and said, I'm not black. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be black.
Mm-hmm.
But she also used the N-word.
Like throughout the
video. Right. Mm-hmm. And she's Colombian. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, there's so many different examples, whether Logic, we all at this point know Logic is mixed. Mm-hmm. But he kind of favors a white guy, depending on his hairstyle, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's very ambiguous with it. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then also more recently, J. Cole on his new album, mm-hmm. Mightily Later, mm-hmm. He had a line where he kind of said he don't care about the Grammys.
He
and
said
these
white people ain't gave me nothing.
He said these crackers. He actually used the word crackers.
Yes.
Ain't never done ish for me. But lo and behold, if you guys know J. Cole, he's mixed. And his mom is white.
And his mom was in his life.
She was the only one in his life. I don't even think his dad was there. Mom raised him.
Yeah, but I understood what he meant. But
I get it.
But still, the line
makes sense. Yeah, but it's just people kind of got on him online. Mm. Like, bro, what are you talking about? Your mom's white. Mm. But like, this whole conversation about blackness, right? It can go so many different ways and out of control if we wanted to get. Mm-hmm. But, you know, at the end of the day, do you feel like there is kind of like no longer a barrier between sort of blackness and how it's being used, whether it's the people using the N-word? Mm-hmm. Man, I got into a whole debate. Shout out Cameron. Mm-hmm. You know, we argued for like an hour and some change probably about the use of the N-word and who can say it and why we as black people should stop using the word. Mm-hmm. And she had some really good points, by the way, that it made me rethink some things, right? Mm-hmm. But no, did you tell me though? Do you feel like things are getting harder to define in terms of blackness?
Yeah. I mean, because the funny thing is, like, you know, don't judge a book by its cover, right? Like, that's one of the best quotes ever, right? So a lot of times we just look at someone, right, and we say, yo, they kind of look black, like, complexion-wise, right? Mm-hmm. And then we look at them and we're like, you know, they got the, you know, mannerisms of a black person and a white person. Like I feel like lately, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not until, you know, they tell you a lot of times that, like, you know, okay, I'm mixed or whatever, right? But the interesting thing to me is, like, what classifies black, right? Like, what is it? Do people who are mixed or, like, you know, or half black or whatever, do they classify themselves as black because they look black? Or is it something like, yo, literally my family member is black? Like, because a lot of people, I've never seen a black looking mixed person claim their white side. I don't think I've ever seen a mixed person claim their white side ever. Right. And I think I was talking to you, you know, a couple hours ago, and you brought up the point where you were like, yo, like, if you look black, like, you're going to side with black people, you know? And so, but then on the flip side, there's somebody like Halsey, where a lot of people don't know Halsey is actually mixed.
The singer? Halsey? The singer,
Halsey, yeah.
Halsey.
She's mixed.
No way.
A lot of people don't know that. No way. Right? Because, once again, you look at her and you're like, that's a white lady, right?
That's so interesting.
She's mixed. So, is she, what size she claims? So I just thought it was interesting. It was an interesting convo on Twitter because Isaiah Hartenstein, you know, he literally looks white. Hmm. And so, like, you know, I just thought it was interesting.
It is. It's super interesting. You know, again, it's so hard. First off, I did not know Halsey. I'm still bothered by what you just said. I'm still thinking about the, like, wait, what do you mean she's mixed? Yeah, that's crazy
Halsey's
to me.
Mixed. Yeah.
So, but no, I look at it like, man, it comes down to identity.
Mm.
Like, that's the key word I want to use here, because your identity is who you choose to be, who you choose to see yourself as, right? This is the reason why there's people in the trans community who are transitioning to another gender and they're like, I identify as this person. Mm-hmm. So I want to live my life like that. Now, the difference here is back in the day, during the slave times and whatnot, there was this concept of the one drop rule where at one point, it was, if you had any mix with black people in terms of genetics, you were considered black. It don't matter that you don't necessarily identify. That was back then.
What you look like.
But I think now, man, people are getting so commingled genetically. Mm-hmm. Bro, it's kind of difficult to identify black people
10,
now.
10%, some are 10% black.
There's some people who legitimately think Logic is white.
He looks white.
Yeah, but even when he uses the N-word, they have a problem with it because they're like, yo, he looks white.
He's a white guy.
How crazy is
so,
that?
And that's where I want to dive with the N-word thing, right? So I'm
I don't really use it, right? But, you know, shit, it's like the rule has always been weird to me. Mm. Like, I grew up, we grew up in, you know, area with Hispanic and Black people. We were together in the apartment complex, and mm-hmm. like, it was just, we were just always like one, right? So I grew up not really having an issue with Hispanic people saying the N-word,
right?
But there's people that have not grown up like that. So it's like, do Hispanic people get a pass for saying the N-word? Like, do these other cultures get a pass for saying, or should like only Black people say it? I don't know. I just have a different view on it. I personally believe we all should not be saying it. But if y'all gonna say it, like, do Hispanic people get a pass? Do Asian people get a pass?
Nah, it's so crazy.
This
man.
Has to be, we have to figure this out right
by
now.
By the way, we are having a inside conversation outside because this is televised.
We are.
Right?
We are.
And this is good. We actually need to have more of these conversations out loud. We do. Because here's, and we can extend this slightly.
For sure.
Because I think that, like, you know, first and foremost, I use the N-word, but not like salaciously. Like, I don't use it. Like with
or excessively.
I don't think I use it excessively. That's probably the best way to say it. And I do think we should not be using it, but I've been conditioned, whether it's via the music, to just use it. I just do, right? Now, do I believe that we should all stop using it? Absolutely. And I am actually trying to stop using it as much to the point where I just stop using it completely. That's me.
They said 3 weeks. Give a habit.
Habit three weeks. I thought it was 4 weeks. But anyway.
Become normal.
Hey, bro, no. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna figure it out one day, right? Yeah. And I think we all should absolutely get to that point. But it's so tricky because yes, there are Black people who don't feel that strongly about the use of the N word with other people. So how do you now convince, you know, somebody you might know that somebody like a Fat Joe can use it openly, or somebody like a 6ix9ine?
Cause it's like,
can use it openly. Is it because they grew up with Black people? That's why y'all cool like, with it. Because when Nav, who's an Indian guy, was getting his start in music, first couple songs, people were like, "Hold up, where's this guy from? Oh, he Indian, bro. You can't say it." You know what he did? He stopped.
He stopped. He literally. He didn't even argue. He just stopped. He's like, "Yeah, I'm gonna stop."
You know why? Because he knows good and damn well that on what planet?
Yeah.
Can Indian people get off that word? It's like white people. There is literally no space where somebody will justify a white person using the N-word. Even
I've
if they grew up
though.
With Black
I've
people.
I've seen people justify it. Bro. Then again, like, you know, like Fat Joe's case, I thought Fat Joe made a good point. I mean, a lot of people are still killing him, but Fat Joe made a good point. He said, I grew up, I thought I was pretty much Black. I grew up all around all Black people. You talk about identity, right? You said I identify as this, you identify as that. It's like, yo, like if you identify as somebody who's pretty much in the Black culture, like why can't I use the word, right? But that's the thing. When something is so tricky like that, like, you know, you just gotta stop it.
And that's why it's so difficult for people to separate identity with your actual appearance, your racial appearance. Right? You can Fat Joe can identify as somebody who is obviously from Puerto Rico, his ethnicity wise, grew up around Black people in the Bronx. Yet when people look at Fat Joe, they don't see a Black person. They see somebody who's white.
You think they see white?
I
see Spanish or I see Latino.
Well, I say white, I mean somebody from Spain, a Spaniard.
Okay, a Spaniard.
You go to Spain, if you didn't know you were in Spain, you look up and see people who.
He does. He's not like.
You get what I'm saying?
He's not Black, you know, Hispanic.
Correct.
You know, but yeah, I mean, it's true. Like I said, I personally believe, I want to reiterate, I personally believe nobody should be using it. I especially do not believe J-Lo should be using it.
Jeez.
Remember, J-Lo was the first one that got criticized on I'm Real.
That's true.
These niggas want to type of me.
Yeah, she did.
It didn't even sound right. I'm sure Ja Rule wrote that. And she said, I'll keep it. But I do want to close this out.
Yeah, go ahead.
I do want to close this out by saying for all the people that are like, N-word scared or whatever, understand that the people that you hear saying it, you're just lucky enough to hear them say it.
I'm sure many, many more people use the word, including white people.
Of course.
Including Indian people within households. So
it's tricky.
It's tricky. I think this is actually one of the things in the world we cannot fix.
Yo,
like there's no way to fix this. You know how they say with COVID, they're like, COVID is just a new strand of cold now. Bro. Like, just get used to it. It's never going away. I think
that's my thinking too.
You will never fix. You can't fix this.
But I will say this. I'm so first of all.
But you can fix it. You individually can fix it.
Bingo. And that's what I was about to say. Like, I think we can start individually. And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my part.
Yep.
I'm doing my part.
Yep.
I'm not saying I'm gonna fix this tomorrow, but hey, it might get solved in 20 years. I'm just saying. Who knows?
There you go.
Or 21 days, like you said, which is like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I might be able to do this, man. I should think better of myself.
I doubt it, but we'll see.
Anyway, guys, let us know what you guys think in the comments. We reached the end of the episode. Man, this has been a real, real, I think, dynamic episode. I'm really happy. We gave you guys a lot, man. If you made it this far, hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button on YouTube, man. Help us grow. Help us get to like 1.5K, man. 2K, you know, subscribers, man. You know what I'm saying?
2K like the game, man.
Yeah, help us get there,
help
man.
Help my brother out.
Yeah. As always, if you're giving advice, just make sure that thing is ill.
Yes, sir.
Bow!